Meaning, like you said, this is the Word of God. And I have what it says I have. And I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner, not a whiner. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. Said I'm a doer and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. All right. The Bible says we're all a part of the body of Christ. So I turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, next to you, and say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. Now I turn to somebody and tell them, God loves you and so do I. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And like I said, we probably heard this before, church, but I need to hear it today. I need God to move in so many areas in my life, in my family, my finances, my church, my business, my health. And I need to be preached to today. Amen? Luke chapter 5, we'll begin at verse 1. As you turn there, the Bible said, merry heart doeth good like medicine. I got you some medicine this morning. Remember, these are just humorous stories, so please don't be offended by them. At the end of the age, when all the believers are standing in line waiting to get into heaven, God appeared and said, I want all the men to form two lines. One will be for the men who were the true heads of their households. The other will be for the men who were dominated by their wives. God continued, I want all the women to report to St. Peter. The women left, the men formed two lines. The line of men who were dominated by their wives was seemingly unending. The line of men who were true to the head of their household had one man standing in line. God said to the first in line, you men ought to be ashamed of yourselves. I appointed you to be the heads of your households, and you were disobedient and have not fulfilled your purpose. Of all of you, there's only one man who obeyed me. Learn from him. Then God turned to the lone man and asked, how did you come to be in this line? The man replied, my wife told me to stand here. Amen. All right. One dark night outside a small town, a fire started inside the local chemical plant. Before long, it exploded into flames. Alarm went out to fire departments from miles around. After fighting the fire for over an hour, the chemical company president approached the fire chief and said, all our secret formulas are in the vault in the center of the plant. They must be saved. I will give you $50,000 to the engine company that brings them out safely. As soon as the chief heard this, he ordered the firemen to strengthen their attack on the blaze. After two more hours of attacking the fire, the president of the company offered $100,000 to the engine company that could bring out the company's secret files. From the distance, a long siren was heard, and another fire truck came in sight. It was a local volunteer fire company composed entirely of men over 65. To everyone's amazement, the little fire engine raced through the chemical plant gates and drove straight into the middle of the inferno. In the distance, the other firemen watched as the old-timers hopped off their rig and began to fight the fire with an effort that they had never seen before. After an hour of intense fighting, the volunteer company had extinguished the fire and saved the secret formulas. Joyous, the chemical company president announced that he would double the reward to $200,000 and walked over to personally thank each of the volunteers. After thanking each of the old men individually, the president asked the group what they intended to do with the reward money. The fire truck driver looked him right in the eye and said, the first thing we're going to do is fix those dang brakes on that truck. Amen. I'm on a roll with firefighters this morning. Three firefighters went out on a hunting trip. There was a rookie, a captain, and a chief. The weather was miserable, and they hadn't seen any deer all day. Finally, they came across an old shack where they went inside to play a game of poker. After losing a couple of hands, the rookie threw down his card and said, that does it. I'm going to go out and get me a deer. 15 minutes later, the rookie came back with a nice four-point buck. The captain and chief asked, how did you get that? The rookie replied, I walked out 50 feet, followed some tracks, and I shot this buck. The captain then said, I've had enough of this. I'm going to get my deer. He came back a half hour later with a six-point buck. The chief asked, how did you get that? The captain then replied, "I walked out 100 feet, followed some tracks, and shot this buck." Chief, not wanting to be outdone, said, "I'm out of here. I'm going to bag the biggest buck of the day." He came back an hour later, all mangled up and bloody. The rookie and the captain asked, "What happened to you?" The chief replied, "I walked out there 500 feet, followed some tracks, and I got hit by a train." Got to be careful, amen? I want to read this to you. And please, again, don't be offended. I just thought it was really, with whatever all is going on in the world today. And it's called, "I'm Here to Help My Friends." Okay. "While I in no way agree with slavery or the fact that over 150 years ago is what most people of today erroneously think the Civil War was fought over, so I've come up with a solution to help those of you that are offended by the mere history of our United States. While you're tearing down and are removing the statues that offend you because of some radical left-wing extremist told you to, do this for me. Check your money. The $1 bill has Washington, which was a slave owner. The $2 bill has Jefferson, which was a slave owner. The $5 bill has Lincoln. He did not necessarily agree with slavery, but he didn't agree that blacks were equal. $10 bill has Hamilton, a slave owner. A $20 bill has Jackson, a slave owner. A $50 bill has Grant, a slave owner. A $100 bill has Franklin, who had an affiliation with slave trade. So I'm here to help you, I really am. What I need y'all to do is send me all your currency so I can properly dispose of it for you. No need to carry those evil people in your pocket that cause your life so much trauma and tears. Don't be a hypocrite. Send me the money. It's evil. Contact me for details and I'll show you how to get it to me. Amen? All right. Luke chapter 5. Begin at verse 1. "And it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." I think that's an awesome statement right there. The people pressed because they wanted to hear the word. Amen. I want to see the day when people are standing in line to get in church houses. Amen. Because they want to hear the word of God. Amen. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he had said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that was with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." Church, never underestimate the power of a simple word. Amen. Nevertheless. That's our bridge to the supernatural. Nevertheless puts the power back in God's hands. Nevertheless activates heaven on your behalf and it paralyzes hell. Help, I've got a boat breaking, net breaking, boat sinking blessing. I've got too much blessing. That's what you would have heard if you'd been on the beach that day with Peter. Amen? Peter was yelling to his partners on the shore. But church, that shouldn't surprise us. Isn't that what the Bible says? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom? Amen. You know how many of the things we buy today have words written on them that say contents may settle during shipping. And sure enough, you open a bag or a box and it looks like somebody stole a third of what you were supposed to have in the box. Amen? But I want you to know that God has a blessing with your name on it and the contents haven't settled. As a matter of fact, not only have the contents not settled, the contents are overflowing. Amen? That means that it wouldn't all fit in the box. It's too much blessing. You see, a lot of us, we have a hard time. Most of us, we can believe God for just enough blessing. Just enough to pay the rent. Just enough to put gas in the car. just enough to buy a few groceries, just enough to keep the lights on. That's the wilderness mentality, church. That's called the wilderness of just enough. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, He took them through a wilderness of just enough. But it was only supposed to be the hallway to the land of overflow, the land that flowed with milk and honey. Just enough is definitely better than never enough, but it's not the promised land. God wants to take us to the promised land. Amen? And I'm here to tell somebody that He has a blessing with your name on it. It's in the post office. It's been dispatched from heaven, and it's waiting for you to put your claim on it. Amen? You've prayed, you've confessed the Word, you've worked your faith, you stood on the Word. But if you're honest with yourself, and many of you are in the same place that Peter was that day, you've been disappointed. Somebody I'm talking to has been in a disappointing season. Your faith has been disappointed over and over again. You've thrown your net out over and over again. It seems like it's all for nothing. And it feels like all that prayer and all that believing and all that confessing was just a waste of time. But the Lord says to you, your disappointing season shall come to an end. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? You know how when you order something, they give you a delivery date? That's your appointment to receive what you ordered. Well, the Lord says, this is your divine appointment, church. But you say, well, I've already been to the post office 6 times and there's no sign of my package, no evidence of rain anywhere. Elijah said, go again. The Holy Spirit's telling you, go again. Amen. Persistent faith never loses. Then his servant comes back and says, this time I saw a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain, church. We can't go by what we see. Amen? Amen. Glory. I'm here to tell you, your drought shall be over and you shall be taken over by an abundance of rain. Amen? Amen. The Lord said to prophesy to you a new season, a new anointing. So I'm prophesying today a new season, a new anointing for all of us. Amen? An anointing to break through and release the supernatural abundance that God has for us, church. There is an anointing for every season of your life. There's anointing for the hard places in life, amen? There's an anointing to sustain you through the drought. There's an anointing for your long nights of fruitless labor. There's an anointing for breakthrough and release and supernatural abundance. Lift your hands and ask God to shift you into the anointing of abundance and breakthrough and supernatural ease. Amen. Lord, I thank you this morning for that anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens out of my life. Thank you, Lord God. You see, Jesus was trying to shift Peter into a new anointing, but he resisted. And I'm paraphrasing. Peter said, Lord, it's all been for nothing. We've worked so hard for nothing. We've worked and all we got is empty nets. We prayed, we fasted, we confessed your word for nothing. I've tried and I've tried. How many times we cried out to God? But Lord, I've done it what you told me to do. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and it all seems like for nothing. Nothing's changing in my life. Your promises are not being fulfilled in my life. Your blessings are not overtaking me in my life. Well, let me give you a revelation this morning. Nothing is a great preparation for too much. Amen? We don't like the nothing, but we sure like the too much, don't we? But God has to take us sometimes through the nothing, church, so we appreciate and He gets the glory for the too much. Amen? God will always take you through a season of nothing just before the breakthrough into too much. Why? Because God wants all the glory. He wants you to know and He wants everybody else to know that it was not the strength of your flesh that caused it to happen. Because you see, we're not the Savior. We're not the healer. We're not the deliverer. We're not the miracle worker. He wants you to know experientially that it's the anointing that produces a miracle. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Some of us, we wore ourselves out trying to make it happen for us. Wore ourselves out trying to change our husband or change our wife or change our children or change our finances or do something to help heal our bodies. We've just worn ourselves. And God says, it's not going to be in your power. It's not going to be in your strength. You got to trust me. Amen. It's going to be by my power, by my might, by my spirit. Amen. Told you I need to be preached to this morning. And God wants you to learn His voice. Amen. The first key to shifting into the anointing of abundance is hearing the voice of God. So many times God's trying to tell you, I need you over here and I need you to do this, and the blessing's going to fall upon you, and yet you're over here doing what you think is right in your eyes and not doing what God's telling you, because you're not hearing God, you're hearing what everybody else is saying. Oh, come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. The second key is obeying Him. Obedience to an instruction, even if it seems ridiculous. You ever had God tell you to do something that just didn't make any sense? Amen. Like I said, God will let us wear ourselves out doing what we know to do so that we'll be ready to hear His voice. You see, when we still got strength, we still got options. We think we can work it out. And we don't hear God. Boy, when we can't fix it, when we can't do anything about it, boy, we start listening to God, don't we? It's not that He's not speaking, church. It's just that we're too busy making too much noise to hear Him. Amen. So He wants you to wait for Him. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit means that the Spirit is in front. So He waits for us to fall back in line and start waiting on Him. See, well, I'm being led by the Spirit. No. The Spirit's back here. You're the ones doing the leading. You're doing what you think is right in your own eyes. Amen? But God said we need to be led by the Spirit, because the Bible says the Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth, and He will show you things to come. Amen? Then He speaks a ridiculous instruction to you. If you want to shift into a ridiculous blessing, you have to be willing to listen to and obey a ridiculous instruction. Isaiah 1:19 said, "It is the willing and obedient that eat the good of the land." Some of us were willing, but sometimes we're not obedient. Well, God, I can't do that. I'll do anything you ask me to do, God, but I'm not going to do that. I just can't go over and say I'm sorry to that person. I just can't do this, Lord. Then you're not doing what God told you to do. Then you're not going to be able to eat the good of the land. Amen? Because He said it's the willing and obedient. It was a ridiculous instruction for the prophet to tell a broke, busted, and disgusted widow to go and borrow empty vessels, not a few, and then take her little pot of oil and start pouring it into all those empty vessels. You look at her, she had enough for her and her son. And that's all she had. And He says, here, go borrow some vessels and pour your little dab in there. That doesn't make any sense. But she obeyed the ridiculous instruction, and the anointing of ridiculous blessing came on her, and she went into a supernatural overflow. God will take your little and cause it to be much if you'll be obedient to Him. A ridiculous anointing is ready to fall on somebody right now. Amen. Amen. Number three, the third key to ridiculous blessing is that you have to get a vision of abundance. Most of us don't have any problem seeing ourselves just enough, barely making it, just keeping our heads above water. I know, I've been there. We've been faithful in our tithes, never missed a service, but I never had the vision of abundance. Amen? You have to see yourself in abundance. How do you see yourself? Oh, busted and disgusted, poor old me, barely getting by. That's all that's ever going to happen. That's what happened to my family before. My mom and daddy was that way. My grandma and my grandpa was that way. So I guess I'm just going to be that way. If that's what you see, that's what you have. Amen? You may have empty boats. You may have empty nets. You may have empty cupboards. You may have empty pockets. But you have to see something that isn't there, church. In Romans 4:17, He's counting the things that be not as though they were. Amen? Oh, I'll believe it when I see it. There's no faith in that, church. You got to believe it, then you're going to see it. If you believe it, you're going to start confessing it. You're going to start talking about it. Amen? And there's power in words. He says we have the power of life and death in words. Amen? He said, we're going to eat the fruit of our lips. So many of us, I've been confessing the word for 2 or 3 days and nothing's happened. You've been talking negative for 40 years and guess what's been happening? Amen? Praise God. God told Abraham, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look east and west, north and south. Everything you can see, I'll give it to you. God was saying, if you can see it, you can have it. Amen? Through the eyes of faith, church. He's not just talking about your carnal, your literal eye. He's talking about the eye of faith. If you can see it by faith, you can have it. Because all things are possible to them who can believe. Amen? And he says, according to your faith, so shall it be unto you. Amen. When the prophet told that woman to get all those empty vessels, he was activating her spiritual sight, her faith vision. He wanted her to see by faith every one of those vessels filled. By faith, we're believing God that every one of these chairs are going to be filled in this place. Amen? It may not look like it now, but by faith, that's what we're believing. Praise God. And when she obeyed that ridiculous instruction and began to pour that little bit of oil she had into those vessels, she made that little pot of oil her miracle seed. It didn't make sense. It was nothing compared to the size of her need. It could not get her out of debt. But she poured it out and she sowed it, church. She released what she had in order to get what she needed. Some of us, we're holding on to this little bit that we got. And if we just give it to God, that little bit's not going to help your situation or your circumstances. But if you'll take that little bit and give it to God, God can multiply it and come and cause it to be an overflow in your life. Amen? But you've got to trust Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And her obedience to a ridiculous instruction took her into overflow and put her in the oil business. Amen. Amen. Not only did she have enough for her, she had enough to help other people. Church, that's where we miss it sometimes. Oh, God, I need you to bless me. God wants to bless you, but He wants to bless you so that you can be a channel to bless somebody else. He wants to flow into you and flow from you into somebody else. Praise God. You see, Peter's seed was his boat. Jesus used his boat as a pulpit. Jesus told Peter to launch out in the deep for a draught. He was giving Peter a vision of abundance. Jesus didn't say, try one more time and see if you might catch something. He said, let down your nets for a net-breaking, boat-sinking blessing. He was saying, there's a blessing out there with your name on it waiting for you to let down your nets. Do what He's telling you. Oh, God, I need you to do this in my life. Okay, what has God told you over here? You haven't done what He's told you to do first over here. Do that, and then God will move and do other things in your life. But if we're not obedient to do what He's told us to do in the first place, why would God want to tell us to do more? Amen? Amen? Jesus is saying there's a multitude of fish out there waiting for you to let down your net. They have an appointment to jump into your nets. And if you don't get out there and let your nets down, you're going to miss your appointment with your blessing. Brother Kenny and I used to go fishing. He had a boat. We used to go out there on the lake, and we'd sit there at night and just kind of drift along and fish. And we were out there one day, one morning, we were out there. Not Sunday. I was in church. We were out there one morning, and I never seen this in my life before. I heard about it. I already told me about it. But when the bass start running, I'm talking about they just churn the water. It looked like piranha. And we were out there, and we were trying to, we'd go over where those fish were turning the water up. We'd cast out there, and we were pulling them out and pulling them in, and we were hanging ourselves and everything else. It was just, it was a frenzy going on. And then they'd quit, and then you see them over here, and we'd run over there, and we'd throw our lines in, and we had a ball. Those fish were just, they were just waiting to jump in our boat. That's the closest thing I've ever experienced to what Peter's sitting here with, amen? But he said, they're waiting to jump in your nets. God says the blessing's waiting there for us, church, if we can just believe Him for it. Get our eyes off of what we're seeing and start believing God for what we can't see. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Whew. Tell your neighbor, don't miss your appointment. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That's what Mary told His servants at the wedding when they ran out of wine. It may not make sense, but do it. Amen. It may be hard on the flesh, but do it. Amen. You may not like it, but do it. Amen. Everybody may think you're crazy, but do it. Amen. They think you're crazy anyway. Amen? When you got saved, everybody thought you lost your mind. You did. You took on the mind of Christ. The Lord's telling somebody hearing this word, through your obedience, your water is getting ready to be turned into wine. Water speaks of just enough. Wine speaks of excessive overflow and abundance. Water speaks of survival and maintenance, but wine speaks of thriving and overflow. Amen. When Peter obeyed, he went into supernatural overflow and abundance. When the widow obeyed, she went into supernatural overflow and abundance. When the servants obeyed, the water became wine. And I know some people have a problem with that, but if you ever want to talk to me about that later, I'll explain to you what's going on there, okay? God is trying to shift somebody into a new anointing this morning. Peter almost missed his breakthrough anointing because he argued with Jesus. Tell your neighbor, don't argue with God. Oh, but Lord, I done tried that. I've done this for you and done this for you and done this for you. I've been nice to this person even though I didn't want to be nice to him. I come to church and do everything you tell me to do. I've done this and done. It's just not working, Lord. How many times we argue with God? But God is, nothing's happening. Church, God is trying to get you right here. If He can get you right here, He can get you right here. If He gets you right here, then you can see what He's telling you is out there for us. Amen? He said we don't look at the temporal things. Amen? We look at the eternal things. Praise God. One word shifted Peter into a ridiculous blessing. That one word changed everything. He'd worked, he's toiled, he's a professional fisherman. He'd done everything in his power he could do. And Jesus said, put your net over here. And he said, okay, I'll do it. Nevertheless, I'll do it. Peter's argument was something like this. Lord, it doesn't make sense. You don't fish during the daytime. Lord, I'm tired. I fished all night long. Or he does something like some of us. Lord, I just don't feel like it. How many times we miss God's blessing because we just didn't feel like it? I just don't feel like going to church this morning. Well, I don't feel like reading my Bible this morning. Well, I don't feel like praying. And we missed out on what God had for us. Amen? Lord, I don't want to be disappointed again. How many times? Oh, I tried that, Lord. It didn't work. I just don't want to get my hopes up. It might not work again. Amen? But Peter spoke one word that changed everything. Nevertheless. You better have a nevertheless in your vocabulary. I need a nevertheless in my vocabulary. All the things I'm going through, all the stuff that's been happening to us and my family and my finance and all this other stuff, I've got to have a nevertheless. I've got to have God move in this situation. Amen? That one little word seems so insignificant but so full of power. Nevertheless means I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care if I tried it before and it didn't work. I don't care if it's going to cost me some pride. I don't care if it doesn't make sense. Nevertheless, I don't care if it makes me look foolish. We look foolish in a lot of things and we don't think nothing about it. But when it comes to doing something for God, oh, I don't want, what are people going to think? Man, if it's going to get me into the nevertheless, if it's going to get me into overflow, if it's going to get me into abundance, I don't care what people think. Amen? Amen? Nevertheless, I will obey. Nevertheless, I will go. Nevertheless, I will do. Nevertheless, I will pray. Nevertheless, I will forgive. Nevertheless, I will sow that seed. Nevertheless, I will take that step. I will fill the water pots with water, even though everyone is expecting wine. I will go and dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan. I will march around the walls for 7 days. I will borrow empty vessels, not a few. I will make the prophet a cake, even though it's going to be the last meal for me and my child. Nevertheless, church, come on, say nevertheless. That's the word, that's the bridge between a season of nothing into the season of too much. Amen? Tell your neighbor, I'm crossing over on a nevertheless. That word shifts you out of the natural realm into the supernatural. I may see empty nets, but nevertheless. I may feel pain in my body, but nevertheless. My children may be acting crazier than ever, which they are, but nevertheless. My bank account may be on life support, but nevertheless. They just repossessed my car, nevertheless. I just lost my job, nevertheless. Amen? My wife or my husband just served me with divorce papers, nevertheless. Praise God, I feel a nevertheless anointing in this place right now, church. Amen. The devil may be attacking me on every side, nevertheless. There may be no relief in sight, nevertheless. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Nevertheless, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. God is for me, and it doesn't matter who's against me. Nevertheless. Somebody shout, nevertheless. When the word is spoken in faith, it notifies heaven that you're ready to do whatever the Holy Spirit instructs you to do. Secondly, it cripples hell. Why? Because when you declare that word in faith, you have just notified hell. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have or you don't have. It doesn't matter how educated or uneducated you are. It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what hell throws at you. It doesn't matter if it's sickness or disease. Amen? It doesn't matter if it's financial problems. It doesn't matter if the devil attacks your family. It doesn't matter if it's in the lion's den or in the fiery furnace. It's already settled. I'm committed. Nothing's going to change my mind. I got a nevertheless on the inside of me. Amen. Whew. Nevertheless, that word's prophetic because that word declares it's done before I even start. In other words, you when you declare that word from your heart, you're releasing faith, church. Your faith is testifying. Your faith is crippling hell. We all remember Jesus' word on the cross. He said, it's finished. Prophetically, it was finished in the garden when Jesus prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. It was settled right then, church. That one word from Jesus' lip, hell was defeated. Your victory and my victory was won. Somebody needs to open your mouth and prophesy. Nevertheless. Put heaven on notice that you're ready for your breakthrough. Cripple hell. Let the devil know it don't matter. It's already decided. Come hell or high water. Come sickness or hell. Come joy or pain. Come drought or rain. Come lion's den or fiery furnace. Nevertheless. Grab your neighbor's hand and prophesy to him. Nevertheless. When you prophesy, you're putting pressure on your blessing. You are accelerating your blessing. Nevertheless means I refuse to be dominated by what my eyes see. I'm going to cast my nets into nothing because I'm believing for too much. This is my nevertheless praise. Amen. Now, I want you to prophetically praise Him like everything you've been believing God just happened, like it just manifested. Come on, give God some praise. Some of us, we've been on this mountain too long. God says it's time to move on. Amen? Tired of living in the world, just barely getting by. It's time for us to take our place where God wants us to be. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail. We're supposed to be blessed going in and blessed coming out. Amen? That's what nevertheless means. It means I don't see it in the natural, but I'm going to praise Him just like it's already done. Somebody needs to put hell on notice that you're not quitting. That you're not giving up. You're not turning the switch of faith off. Let the devil know I got one more cast in me. Amen. Praise Him like your prodigals just came home. Praise Him like your healing just manifested. Praise Him like your debt was supernaturally canceled. You know, and I'll probably get bad letters from this anyway. I never played the lottery, but $700 million, I played the lottery the other day. I'm like this. I'll take the devil's money and use it for God's glory. Some of these self-righteous, religious people, I wouldn't do that. Man, hey, you give me that money, I'll do something good with it. I had to go ask the lady. I said, how do you do this? How do you, what does it cost? What do you? And she told me what to do. She said, can you imagine what kind of church you could build with that kind of money? Can you imagine what kind of outreaches you could have with that kind of money? Amen? Praise God. Amen. I'm not too self-righteous. If you win the lottery, you want to tie it to me, I'll take it. Amen. Give them a praise like your marriage has just got restored. Give them a praise like your addiction is broken. Nevertheless, church, this week you're going to face situations. And the devil's going to tell you this and that. You've got to tell him, nevertheless. People come up to you and start talking all kinds of negative stuff to you. Tell them, nevertheless. We're going through some things financially. We're going through some things in our family. And if I focused on them, I'd get so discouraged and so just whipped. But you know what? I preach myself happy this morning. I'm going to remind myself this week when all these things happen, I don't care. God says, nevertheless. Nevertheless. It don't have to stay this way. Nevertheless, He's changing. One word changes everything. Amen? Lord, I don't care what I see. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what everybody else is saying. I know what You have promised me. And I'm going to stand on that. Amen? All right, I got one more thing I want to read to you, then I'm going to close because I know we're supposed to have our dinner in the back. And my wife gets on me when I get long-winded. But church, I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better than I did when I came in this place this morning. Amen? And just remember, that's not my word. This is God's word to us. Maybe you've tried it time and time again and it hadn't worked. One more time. Maybe you sowed some seed and it didn't work. Sow some more. Whatever God's telling you to do. Maybe you've forgiven some people, but there's somebody else that God's talking to you about that's holding up your blessing. Find out who it is and nevertheless, do what God says do. Amen. This is called bringing to Jesus. The little house was filled to overflowing. People were standing in the little room out on the porch and in the yard. They had heard the news. Jesus had returned to Capernaum. They had all come to see and hear Him. One man had not come. He was a cripple. He watched his people turn by on their way. He so longed to join them, but he could not. Here he had to stay. But no, standing over him were four friends. They knew. They hadn't forgotten. Picking up the pallet on which he lay, they brought him to Jesus. These four men were the first of a great company who, through the centuries, have been bringing men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus. They usually keep in the background and are hardly known, but their worth can hardly be estimated. Everyone has heard of Augustine. Few have heard of Monica. She was Augustine's mother, and she brought her son to Jesus. We know about John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. Few know the name Susanna Wesley. She brought her son to Jesus. We know the name D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. Few recognize the name Kimball. He brought Moody to Jesus. I wonder if it isn't true that behind every great Christian stands another, an obscure, unsung hero who brought him to Jesus. Four men helping a friend, and yet what a world of meaning lies in their simple act. Consider, they brought him to Jesus. They didn't take it for granted that he would hear. They went to where he was and brought him to be healed. In your imagination, can you see the blazing sign? Wanted, four men in every church, in every town, in every village, bringing those in need to Jesus. Would you like to be one of those four? Who would you have walk? No finer thing can be said of anyone than this. He brought one in need to Jesus. Church, we need to bring them to Jesus. Amen. He's the answer. He's the hope. He's the way maker. He's the one that can change all things. Amen. He's the one that says all things are possible. Praise God. This week, every time the devil sticks up his head, hit him with a nevertheless. Amen. You watch what happens. He'll leave you alone. He'll have to go somewhere else, find somebody else to pick on. Amen? Praise God. Give God some praise and glory in the house this morning. Nevertheless, people may be talking about you. Nevertheless. They may be saying all kinds of things about me. It's not true. Nevertheless. Everybody's telling me it's just not going to happen for you. Nevertheless. Well, I've been sick like this a long time. Nevertheless. Well, my finances, man, I just don't. Nevertheless. Is God not in control of all things? Thank you, sir. No brace. Nevertheless. Amen. Amen. Nevertheless, amen. Some of us, we need to hear this this morning. I need to hear it this morning. Amen. And some of y'all need to hear it this morning.
Mr. Mark said, are you sure you heard from God?
Praise the Lord. He's good, church. He's got better for us. And we're His kids, and we deserve it. We have a right, and we have a covenant with Him. Amen. And sometimes the devil blinds us with all our problems and circumstances, and we can't see the promises. They're still true. Amen? Nevertheless. Nevertheless, guys. It's been looking hopeless sometimes, but nevertheless, it's not. Amen? Praise God. God is good. Amen. Give God some praise. I'm just... Amen. Just sitting over this morning doing praise and worship, I'm telling you what, it was like... I know you don't go by feelings, but I'm telling you about the Holy Ghost goosebumps were all over me. I was thinking, let's have church right now. You know? Amen. Praise God. Let's get this thing rolling. Get it going. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. If y'all stand, please. My kids.